From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 19th day of May 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. We'll discuss today's announcement from the United States Department of Agriculture related to CFAP, that's the Coronavirus Food Assistance Program payments, that came out of the CARES package that Congress passed and President Trump signed into law earlier in the year. We'll have details of what producers will need to do with the FSA and when those payments will come. We'll also hear about the weather forecast with Don Day from Day Weather. Check in on the crop progress across the Midwest in Iowa, Minnesota, and Illinois, particularly from the state statisticians. And I'll update you on the North Dakota numbers. Those are the ones that are really surprising. And then as we close out our time, Dave Chatterton will be here from Strategic Farm Marketing to talk about the agricultural energies on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online and listen to us on demand at any time you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. It's public radio for the farming world, or you can always look us up and listen to us as a podcast in places like Stitcher, SoundCloud, NPR One, Google Podcast, and Apple Podcast as well. However you listen to us, thank you so much for taking your time and spending it with us here at Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago, corn futures finished a bit higher for the day. July corn at 321 and a quarter, up a half. September 325 and a half, one and a quarter higher. And December at 334 and a quarter, a penny and a half higher. And the March futures at 346 and a half, up one and a quarter. Next year's at May at 353 and a quarter, a penny higher. July soybeans 2.5 lower, settled at 842 and a half. The August at 845 and a quarter, down 2.5. And November beans 2.5 lower at $8.50 and a quarter. January 8.53 and 3/4, 2 cents lower. The bean oil at $27.09, up 23 cents. The bean meal at $2.84.60, down 50. Soft red winter wheat, the July contract up a penny and 3/4 at $4.98 and 3/4. The hard red at $4.41 and a half, down 4 3/4 of a cent. Live cattle futures for the day: June contract a nickel higher at $98.77 and a half. The August at $99.07 and a half, up 22 and a half. And feeders finished 82 and a half higher in the May contract at $127.42 and a half. However, the August on out were down about 60 cents for the day. That August $131.92 and a half, down 62 and a half. Lean hogs in the July $1.37 and a half lower at $56.27 and a half. And the crude oil for the day finished around $32.55 a barrel, up 73 cents. Ethanol futures, 3 7/10 of a cent per gallon higher. Heating oil down 2 9/10, and gasoline on the RBOB at about $1.04, around a penny and 6/10 higher for the day. Natural gas up 6 7/10 at $1.85. The Dow Jones Industrial Average 33 points lower at 24,474. We're now joined by Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday.
Well, it's my pleasure, Todd, and I'm just excited as can be over here because I finally get into my barber to get my hair cut this afternoon.
Oh, well, excellent for you. We're still not doing that here in the great state of Illinois, or at least I don't think we are, although I do it myself, so I don't really worry about that very much. Let's talk a little bit. That's what happens when you don't have a lot of hair. Let's talk about what happened in the marketplace for the day. So anything of interest other than what happened in Washington, D.C., will have the announcement of the CFAP payments in just a bit.
Well, I think that basically we come in, we were a little bit excited a little bit with the idea that we thought that China was going to be back in buying first of the week. And that enthusiasm waned a little bit as the day went on and no sales were announced. You know, basically along the way, the corn saw a little bit of a run-up and held on, didn't hold the numbers it looked like all day. Because we got questions about the demand, which we said that China didn't come back in. You know, the weather's favorable, but not ideal. Boy, we've got ponds standing a lot of places. I had a guy drive down from northeastern Indiana, and he said when they can get back in the field, the ponds aren't going off fast, and there's going to be a lot of replanting in that area. In southwest Indiana, same thing. They said there's going to be, everybody's going to have to go back in the field and spot in some stuff.
I didn't check Indiana's numbers directly, but across the nation, 80% of the corn crop is in the ground, and That's pretty far along.
Yeah, the corn crop is in the ground. Looked like we were going to be looking good if we hadn't got quite as heavy rains, but it's going to be at least Saturday or Sunday if the weather clears before we can get back in and even consider planting more. But, I mean, as far as the crop going in the ground over here, no problem at all. The area that's way behind, of course, is North Dakota. And that's just all right with most of us here. If they do take some prevent plant up there and get some of these corn acres not quite as big as we've been looking at.
We'll see how that happens or if that happens. Of course, their prevent plant day is only 6 days away now, and that's the 25th day of May. Find out whether they begin to continue to plant or whether they decide just to go ahead and go with PP this year. What's the ethanol situation nearby you?
Well, you know, we're back to having some fall bids from some of the ethanol plants. It sounds like Shelbyville will probably start production first of the month over there. We haven't got it. There was announcements out that they would maybe start because they took corn and then quit taking corn with the idea that until they could start up again. And they are putting a bid out again over there. That's the new Poet plant over at Shelbyville, Indiana. You know, the rest of them are putting some bids out, and it looks like we're seeing some plants come back online, and that is very good. I think we're about 6 cents over the price of gasoline right now with the ethanol. And that is going to, with all the cars going back on the road, and let me tell you, they're back on the road over here. You know, we're going to be able to start blending some and using some of this ethanol and draw down on our stocks. And that would be really, really good.
Do we have any good news on the export front for corn, soybeans, or any other products?
You know, no announcements today, but, you know, no announcement also saying that anything's collapsed as far as phase one. And the last word I heard was we're going ahead with it, and it looks like China's going to want to do what they want or will try to make it their word good on that. So, you know, that we're going to hope that that continues to go that way and we continue to see businesses open and crop get going along the way. And those government payments are going to be big.
Yeah, they'll be big. We'll detail those in just a bit here. Actually, that's up next right here on Illinois Public Media and the Closing Market Report. Thanks so much for being with us, by the way.
Thank you, Todd.
That is Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, just one item. U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue today announced details of the Coronavirus Food Assistance Program, otherwise known as CFAP, which will provide some $16 billion in direct payments to deliver relief to American farmers and ranchers impacted by the coronavirus pandemic. Producers will be paid based on inventory subject to price risk held as of January the 15th of 2020. A single payment will be made based on 50% of the producer's 2019 total production or the 2019 inventory as of January the 15th, 2020, whichever is smaller, multiplied by the commodity's applicable payment rates. Producers must provide the following information for CFAP: the total 2019 production for the commodity that suffered a 5% or greater price decline, and the total 2019 production that was not sold as of January the 15th. The payment for corn is 67 cents total, and the payment for soybeans is 95 cents total. Contact your local FSA office for complete details. There is a payment limitation of $250,000 per person or entity for all commodities combined. Applicants who are corporations, limited liability companies, or limited partnerships may qualify for additional payment limits where members actively provide personal labor or personal management for the farming operation. Producers will also have to certify they met the adjusted gross income limitation of $900,000 unless at least 75% or more of their income is derived from farming, ranching, or forestry-related activities. Producers must also be in compliance with the highly erodible land and wetland conservation provisions. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Yesterday, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows 80% of the corn crop around the nation has been sown. The rolling five-year average is 71%. 43% of that crop is up and growing. The five-year average is 40%. 53% of the soybeans are in the ground. The rolling five-year average is 38%, and 18% of that crop has emerged. The five-year average for soybean emergence is 12%. 56% of the winter wheat crop around the nation is headed. That's just a bit behind the 62% rolling five-year average, and the condition of the crop is 44% good and 8% excellent this week. That compares to 45% and 8% from the previous week. Now, here are the state statisticians from Illinois, Minnesota, and Iowa with updates from their regions.
This is Melissa Couch, agricultural statistician. There were 4.3 days suitable for field work during the week ending May 17, 2020, according to the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service. Iowa farmers have planted 96% of the expected corn crop, nearly a month ahead of last year and almost 3 weeks ahead of the five-year average. Only southwest Iowa has over 10% remaining to be planted. Corn emergence improved to 62%, almost double that of the previous week. The soybean crop moved to 86% planted, almost nearly a month ahead of last year and 3 weeks ahead of average. Farmers in the northern one-third of the state have less than 10% of their soybeans left to plant. One-fourth of the soybean crop has emerged. For the USDA NASS Upper Midwest Regional Field Office, this is Melissa Couch.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Last week started out cool and dry around Illinois, but then changed to cool and wet by the end of the week. There was an average of 3.2 days suitable for field work around the state, and farmers were able to plant corn and soybeans as well as do other field work. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated 1% short, 49% adequate, and 50% surplus. The average rainfall for the prairie state last week was 2.4 inches, and that was 1.4 inches above normal. Rainfall totals were above average all around the state, with some of the higher totals in northeastern Illinois. Temperatures averaged 58 degrees and ranged from 4 to 5 degrees below normal for this time of year. Corn planting is now 83% finished. That compares to just 20% 1 year ago and 75% for the five-year average. 43% of corn acres have emerged compared to 56% normally. Soybean planting advanced to 59% complete, well ahead of last year's 7% and the five-year average of 40. 21% of soybean acres have emerged compared to 16% normally. The winter wheat crop is now 67% headed. That compares to 56% last year and 72% normally. The condition of the winter wheat crop was reported as 12% very poor to poor, 25% fair, and 63% good to excellent. That is a little worse than last week, but considerably better than 1 year ago. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office with the weekly crop progress and condition report for the week ending May 17, 2020. Small grain planting progress rapidly advanced during the 5.2 days suitable for field work during the week. Minnesota's statewide corn planting progress was nearing completion at 95%. Corn emergence reached 57%, which is 19 days ahead of last year and 6 days ahead of the five-year average. Soybean planting progress was 74% complete, just over 3 weeks ahead of last year and 9 days ahead of the average. Soybean emergence reached 18%, which is 17 days ahead of last year and 4 days ahead of average. Nearly one-third of the spring wheat crop was planted during the week, making the statewide planting progress 70% complete. This is 1 day ahead of last year, but 6 days behind average. Emergence at 29% was well behind average due to the cool weather. For the USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Midwest. By the way, I took a quick peek at the North Dakota crop progress report. It's pretty ugly. It shows as of Sunday, only 20% of the corn crop in that state had been planted. The rolling five-year average is 60%, and that 20%, by the way, lags the very late 33% from last year. Soybeans planted in North Dakota, just 9%, and that state produces more soybeans, by the way, than it does of any other crop in the state, that is. 19% last year, 35% is the rolling five-year average for North Dakota. And the prevent plant date for corn there is May 25, June the 10th for soybeans. Well, you know, it's been really wet here in the state of Illinois. You might not realize this, but the first 4 months of the year were the wettest on record in a couple of counties in the center of the state, Logan and Sangamon. We heard that from the state climatologist last week. And now Don Day is here from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, to tell us about the rainfall that we've had, because it seems like it's been raining now for a while. I know it's not, but boy, we have had a lot of wet weather here in our part of the world. Will we get dry conditions for the end of this week and maybe some warmer weather?
Well, the answer to your question is a little bit of yes and a little bit of no. Now, first of all, it does look like we do have somewhat of a warmer pattern coming. There's a lot of really warm air that's been building here over the last couple of days across portions of the desert southwest, part of the high plains and Rockies, seeing some really warm temperatures, and some of that warmer air is going to spread on in. But at the same time, the Pacific keeps throwing fronts into Washington and Oregon, and these fronts are going to end up going into the northern plains and acting as a mechanism to set off some shower and thunderstorm activity at times. This is going to be especially true again as we get on into the weekend and into the early parts of next week. We've got to get ready for more shower and thunderstorm activity. Now, it's going to come in surges, the showers and thunderstorms will. So there's going to be some breaks. So the trend is a little warmer. The trend is also the fact that we are going to have gaps in the rain. It won't be continuous several days in a row. We're sort of slowly easing our way into an early summer pattern the way things are looking here over the next 2 weeks.
What about in the northwestern part of the Corn Belt? I'm thinking about the Dakotas, both south and north. They've been lagging well behind in their season. In fact, North Dakota still has not got all of their corn from last fall harvested.
Right. And you know, the areas that are most wet will not be there. There's going to be the eastern Dakotas will get into some shower and thunderstorm activity. Average amounts of rain really for this time of year. Same goes for southwestern Minnesota and northeastern areas of Nebraska and western and northwestern Iowa. They're going to get some rain, but the heavier rain is going to be more towards the southwest, central, and eastern Corn Belt.
Anything else we should talk about before I let you go for the day?
Just a reminder that you know we're slowly but surely going to ease ourselves into summer, and with that, we'll be more in the way of severe weather, always something to watch out for.
Hey, thanks so much, Don. We'll talk with you again next week.
Thanks, Todd.
Don Day is with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Let's turn our attention now to the agricultural energies, as we do each and every Tuesday. We're joined by Dave Chatterton. He's at Strategic Farm Marketing. Good afternoon to you, Dave. Thanks for being with us this morning. We had a conversation about ethanol with Eric Mosby, Todd Hubbs, and Scott Irwin. Those who want to listen to that can do so on our website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. We were talking about where the industry goes from here. I'm wondering where it is now. What's happening with ethanol today?
Yeah, Todd, it's been a pretty topsy-turvy world here, and I think we're all aware of what's happened in the macro markets, particularly with, you know, crude oil and gasoline pricing here over the last month. And we had, I guess, the COVID was the start of it. We had the low and the expiration of the June contract with negative crude last month, and now we've worked our way back up. But in general, spot margins in ethanol for the producers are now, I guess, I'll call them fractionally in the black here for the nearby months. Now, those deferred margins continue to stay negative. And our production last week, you know, we've been in a situation where production has been falling, stocks have been rising, and we've started to reverse that and come back up. Our production last week was up, I think it was 6 million gallons on the week. So we're still down, roughly speaking, about 41% year over year in production. And of course, that has a big demand knock-on effect for where we're at in the corn situation. And if you look at where the USDA was last week on the report, they cut another 100 million out of the ethanol picture. That's down 425 million from where they were last year, and it's you know we're well below where we were the year before that. And so we continue to find a challenge in where those margins are, when these plants are going to come back online, and when the corn demand will come along with that. So it's less than a clear picture here. We've had a nice rebound here. If you look at RBOB prices, they had a low of, let's say, 37, 38 cents. you know, in late March. They're around $1.03 currently, and with ethanol, we had the low that was, you know, about 80 cents right around April 1st. We're $1.17, $1.18 currently. So, you know, that price compares to maybe a pre-COVID level of 127 to 135. So this premium that ethanol holds over gasoline is still an issue. Matter of fact, we had seven governors petition the RFS for waivers on ethanol again this week. Those were places like Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Wyoming, Louisiana, kind of the typical suspects in the oil states. So it's going to continue to be a challenge going forward as we try and get some kind of margin and bring some production back online here, Todd.
Do you think production will begin to tick up as we get into the summer months?
I do. With the way gasoline demand has come back here, we've seen a nice rebound in gasoline demand in the U.S. Demand right now is around 7.3 million barrels per day, but that bottomed out just over 5 million barrels a day about 4 weeks ago, 3.5 weeks ago. We've seen demand increase in each of the last 3 weeks. We're currently, you know, at around 7.3, I would call it about 9.1 million barrels per day pre-COVID. So we're still down roughly almost 20%, but we are on the way back up. There's been an interesting argument here about what will be the new standard for gasoline demand and how do we model that. And there's a certain element of the society that will now, I think, permanently work at home or be more, you know, more attuned to working remotely, at least for a big portion of the week. But we've also seen some statistics that say that, let's say, we're almost 50% or 48% of U.S. families surveyed have canceled their summer vacation plans. And in a sense like that, when they're not going to fly to Disneyland or wherever it may be, a lot of times they're going to jump in the car and create some gasoline demand. We've also got the fear factor of in the metropolitan areas where people are appearing to shy away from mass transit, so trains and buses and different things, in favor of being in their own car and putting up with traffic and driving to work. So the demand behind where that gasoline, you know, dynamic is going to go for the demand side on the consumer is going to be very interesting to watch. We may actually have a peak that's very close to our pre-COVID levels, you know, here in sometime later this summer.
Other energy products for the ag sector that we should watch, propane, for instance.
Yeah, propane is one to be paying attention to. Propane prices actually have had a stronger rebound than really any of the products here, and that's basically a fear of supply shortages driving that market. And Conway topped out, or excuse me, if we look at it the other way, Conway propane, which is kind of the Midwest wholesale benchmark, got to around a 23-cent low late in March, and that was a very attractive price. We're around 46 cents today, and that market started turning higher well before we saw the turn in, let's say, gasoline or crude oil or diesel fuel, and it has to do with the supply situation. We've got about 30% of the, you know, very similar to ethanol, we've got about 30% of the oil refineries in the country currently offline or at strongly reduced capacities. And when we look at propane, it comes out the kind of the bottom end of the refinery, if you will. You pull out the gasoline, you pull out the distillates, you pull out some of the other valuable products, and what you get out of the bottom of the barrel is what we use to make the propane. And so that stream has really slowed down and affected the supply. And in a period where we would normally be building inventories across the summer to get to that winter draw period, we haven't been building at the rate, or really at any rate, that would get us to a comfortable level by winter. And we've seen some price action, you know, that's been higher because of that. So hopefully you've been, you know, if along the way here, been filling your tanks or been contracting. If not, I think you can be a little bit patient here, but definitely something that you need to be paying attention to.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Thank you, Todd.
Dave Chatterton is with Strategic Farm Marketing.